I don't know that I have any stories about queer love. I don't know that I've experienced love. I think, you know, which sounds so dramatic, and so I don't like to say it, but, like, I don't know. Infatuation sounds sort of dismissive, and like sounds not strong enough, and already has too many definitions, and, you know, so my story's about queer, huh?
For my inaugural episode, I decided to make things easy for myself and interview someone very close to me, Noah Symes, a dear friend of mine who I also work with on my other show, The Penumbra Podcast. I went over to his house on an oppressively hot summer day, and we huddled over a microphone in his room, so pardon the occasional noises you'll hear from the open windows. I've known Noah for over a decade, and we've even lived together, but we don't really talk about love. In fact, I don't think I'd ever had a conversation with him about relationships he'd been in, so I was nervous and excited to learn some personal stuff about someone who's pretty much my family. Plus, for once, we'd be having a conversation where I couldn't make it all about me, so that was definitely a learning experience. I'm Sophie Kaner, and this is Edges.
Well, okay, so a year, no, less than a year after I graduated from college, my friends and I went on a like little mini road trip. So we say road trip. We drove
to a place.
Several hours to a place.
Okay, yeah.
To visit another friend who was still in college his senior year. And we went for the weekend. And this is like, I mean, it was just like a magical weekend all around. Like, we just had like an enormous amount of fun and nothing bad happened. And all of his friends were like so welcoming and excited to have us. And, yeah, it was just like all around an ideal weekend. When I was there, I met one of my friend's sweet mates, who I'm going to call Corey. So he was like one of the first people that I met when we got there, you know, and I'm getting a little drunker and a little drunker. And at some point I go to my friend that we're visiting and I say, all right, so like, you know that you have to tell me which of your friends are into dudes. And he was like, that guy that you saw earlier, not Corey. And I was like, oh, just, okay.
So anyone that I would care about?
No, I'm like, that was fine. I was just like, I was expecting a certain answer.
Yeah.
And like a little later the night, I finally like it was, I kept sort of observing and it got so, and I was like, really not Corey? And he was like, oh my God, I totally forgot that he's into, I'm so sorry. But anyway. I mean, basically, I spent the next two nights that we were staying there in Corey's bed with him. And, I mean, it felt really good. It felt like there was something more than like, eh. Like, yeah, I don't know. There was some sort of felt connection there. You know, I think we were at that time both. I want to say. He was, I mean, like, the first thing that is, he was like immensely popular in this group, like, you know, I think, you know, even if people perceived him as you know, mostly straight or whatever, he had this queer energy that I think women felt comfortable around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he was very close with, and, you know, and he just had this, like, energy that I think that, you know I'm a sucker for, right? The person who's sort of, like, a little bit of a mess in a very charismatic way.
Okay.
Like, that draws people to them. And that, like, the person who's the most popular for the best reasons, you know, because they're just good and nice and, like, you know, and like, a sort of, like, sprightly energy, because I'm such an old man, I think I'm attracted to people who counterbalance that in some way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, like, that was just, like, what I observed, sort of, you know, that night. And then, yeah, I don't know. He was just, he was very kind and attentive and, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, let's be honest, like, maybe the most attractive quality a person can have is being interested in me.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
I think most people feel that way.
Yeah.
Or a lot.
Yeah. So.
Did you talk a lot?
We did. You know, a lot of just, like, getting to know you stuff, right? And, you know, he was a senior, and so he was going to be graduating, and he wanted to work in film. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, really basic stuff, plus, like, you know, sort of general who we are, what we are, hopes and dreams kind of, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess I'm wondering now if, like, you know, the subject of the talking was less important than that it happened, or that, you know, that we were genuinely interested in what was being said.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, you know, it was these like two days. Yeah, it was just, you know, and I mean, this is really the thing, is like, I, you know, I talk about how I tiptoed out of a closet. Like, I had never had an experience quite like this, that was so, you know, an attraction that was intense and reciprocated and at least slightly enduring, you know, that wasn't like, I feel this right now, and that's it. So yeah, I think that, you know, that's an enormous piece of it, right?
And it sounds really intimate.
Yeah, and it felt really intimate and quickly, right? Yes. Which, you know, can obviously intensify those feelings.
Yes.
So I, you know, we left that weekend and, you know, sort of like, well, assume we'll see each other again sometime. This is in upstate New York. I live in Boston. Like, well, at that time I lived in the suburbs in my parents' house. And he was from South America.
Oh.
So, like, you know, and he was like, I have no idea where I will be once I graduate.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I got home, and over the next several weeks, maybe months, we kept texting, and so we were, I mean, we were in touch a lot, and like, I mean, I remember that once he, you know, for someone who had sort of as little romantic experience as I had, the text, hey, can you call me? I just want to hear your voice. Like, that is like, oh my god. You know?
That's serious.
Right? Anyway, you know, probably a couple months later, I guess, he was going to come to Boston to visit friends who were living here or staying here. And so, like, we made plans to hang out for, like, you know, he had, like, maybe half a day free. And so we made plans. I went and, like, picked, like, drove through the suburbs to some other suburb to, like, pick him up from his friend's house. We went to my house, where my parents happened not to be that day. We went into Boston. We went to the aquarium. It was under construction, so there was not a ton to see. But, you know, like... like, on the red line going in, we're, like, sitting, you know, sort of squished next to each other, and sort of, like, hidden behind our coats and bags, he, like, held my hand, and that was a thrill. You know, that was my, like... was my level of exhibitionism at that point, was secretly holding hands in public. You know, and at the aquarium, we, you know, we get in the elevator and the door is closed and he kissed me and, like...
It was just... you're in a movie.
Yeah, it was this continuation of this thing and it was just as good. And we left the aquarium and we're headed back on the train, back to my car, and as we're walking through the parking garage, I don't even remember how it came up, but he said... I mean, it sounds like an insane thing to say out of context, but, like, he was like, oh, well, I know that eventually, someday, I'll marry a woman.
God.
Yeah. You know, and it's not like, you know, we knew each other for, like, 3 months, you know? Like, the idea that any stance on marriage should be relevant at that point is on the one hand absurd, and on the other hand, like, you know, like, if there was any chance this could be something, like, cool, you just put a time bomb on it.
Yes. Yeah, it's just stopping and saying to you, this is temporary.
Right. Right.
Whether or not you agree with that, it's not something you want to hear.
And then, you know, and I drove him back to his friend's house in whatever suburb, and then I made a very embarrassing display trying to convince him that we should, like, make a go of it. And he was like, I live in upstate New York, and I don't know where I will live after that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he was like, it's my last semester of college. I really need to, like, have my brain there. And I was like, and, you know, I'm not proud of how hard I tried in that moment.
No, of course you did.
But yeah. And then we still kept in touch a bit.
Really?
Yeah. Not as frequently.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there was an understanding that, like we both still felt something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, like, that broke that.
Yeah.
And he graduated and he moved to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good for film, I hear. You know, we would still keep in touch, and at a certain point, I became aware that he felt pretty free to talk to me about his dating life.
Yeah. With men and women.
The thing I remember specifically is when he told me that he was dating an actor who worked on a TV show, and he told me the name, and I looked him up, and it was, like, someone I was aware of, like, I had seen him in things, and I was like, and the sort of, you know, the silver bullet there was... Well, you know, I said before that I am attracted to people who have this sort of energy that maybe makes them a little bit of a mess and sometimes makes them not the most aware person. Yeah. And so he's talking about this guy that he's seeing and he says, I just never thought that someone like him would be into someone like me. Right? Like, you know, because, like, sure, it makes sense that, like, I, lowly as I am, would be interested, but, like...
Right.
Yeah.
God.
Now, I have a lot of thoughts about, like, now, I feel confident that... some measure of the sort of the intensity of when we met was him feeling this thrill of something kind of new.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what his experience has been. I have no idea, like, where he was at in his process, but, like, yeah, I think that is a genuine... You know, as much as it hurt, like, I think that was a genuine sentiment in the text he sent me. You know, I think he really didn't know that, like, I don't know, hot, cool people might be into him. I'm not trying to dunk on myself. Like, I like myself. I am not this fucking TV star. But, like, yeah, I just think that, like it's very clear to me now that I was a step along this journey for him.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to, like, you know, I don't say that out of bitterness at all, or even to, like, you know, to dunk on the experience as it happened. I just think that, like, it, you know, I think he was still figuring out who he was and what he wanted and what he was capable of. And you know, and so was I, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's maybe the synthesis from all this is, like, you know, and I've come to realize all these things later. I didn't, like, read that text and be like, man, as much as that hurts, I really think this is what happened.
That would be very impressive.
Right? It was years later that I sort of pieced this together. And it was after seeing him again once. But, you know, that's all of it. But, like, you know, I think that, like, it sucks to realize that something that was so intense and so present,
yeah,
you know, was in some way a product of who those people were at that time.
Mm.
You know, which isn't to discredit it, but, like, you know, it lives in your memory as this, like, shining thing, and to, like, know that it wouldn't shine now because these two people are different people, and, like, right. Yeah, and I just think that's a hard thing to, like, realize, or at least to, like, be cool with, is that you can't look to that thing in the past to be like, how can I have this again? Because it's not that you want again. You want something that works now. You know, maybe I'm telling this out of order. Maybe I should tell the third part. So, a couple years ago, he was coming to Boston again, and I like saw it on social media or something, you know, and we had kept in touch long enough, and like, you know, these sort of bumps in the road notwithstanding, like, you know, we had sort of, you know, we had been close in some way. And so, you know, so I got in touch and asked, you know, if he wanted to meet up for a drink and catch up. And so we got a drink and it was great to get, you know, it felt, I don't know, it was nice. It was easy. It was not
fraught.
It was not fraught. It was not, tense. you know, I didn't feel like an intense, like, oh God, there he is again. Like, you know, I'm still attracted to him, but yeah. Like, you know, I had this history, but like, I wasn't like, oh no, here come feelings flooding back. And you know, I think at the end of the night, I sort of said, you know, if while you're here, you wanted to like spend the night at my place sometime for old time's sake or whatever, let me know.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, maybe, like, I can't tonight, but like, yeah, maybe we'll be in touch. And so a couple nights later, I texted him and was like, hey, do you want to come over? He was like, I've got a pretty early morning, but do you want to come here? And he was being put up because he was working like as an assistant to an actor who was filming here. And so they put him up somewhere across town. And,
okay.
And this was before I downloaded Lyft. So I got on a bus.
Wow.
To get on a train. And this is already at like 11 wow. at night. The next day is Mother's Day, and I have to be home anyway. Long story short, you know, I make my way over there. I get there and we chat for a few minutes, and he's like, well, I do it really early morning, so, and we get in bed.
Yeah.
We lie there and then go to sleep. You know, I try to sort of feel out if that was, you know, if that was, if anything else was welcome.
Yeah.
And not really.
Wow.
You know, we weren't like not touching, you know, it wasn't like we were like huddled on opposite
sides. Right. There wasn't like a sword between you, but.
Right. But otherwise.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the part that helped me realize this perspective of, you know, this shining thing that exists in the past.
Yeah.
Can stay there. you know, because I think, you know, we both had a lot of growing to do as people. And one of the things that he grew into, I think, was a person who wasn't interested in me anymore.
You said you don't think you have ever been in love or nothing you would qualify as that.
Yeah, I'd be hard-pressed to.
Do you want to be?
I mean, yes. I'm going to say at the most sort of, at the highest level, at the most macro scale, yes. You know, day to day, I'll have a day where I'm like, I don't have time. Or like, I just.
It takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and this is like a whole different story of like my one true official relationship I've had in my life. It's a whole different story, but like that, I think, is my biggest takeaway from that, honestly, is like oh, you really gotta try. Like, you really gotta make room in your life for a person.
Yeah.
Not just in your heart.
Right.
In your actual life that you live every day.
Yeah. And even like, if you're busy.
And I've spent a lot of time filling my life with things that aren't that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to elbow out now.
Right.
So that's why I say at, like, the highest level, yes.
Hmm.
On a sort of logistical level, the concept stresses me out.
Yeah.
This is a new feeling for the from the past, like, year.
Uh-huh.
Since that relationship, I've just become aware that, like, I hadn't quite realized how independent of a person I have become.
Yeah.
Because I have been on my own in many ways forever, right? Not, you know, forever. Not as a child, but, like, I've been very independent for a very long time, and, like, I became aware that it does not come naturally to me to, you know, to make room in my life for other people. Saying not to make room in my life for other people's desires sounds drastic. Like, no, but, you know, I'm happy to do things for friends, and I try to be a good friend and a kind person, but
that's,
like,
totally different.
Right, but, like, entering into this, you know, this contract is something I have very little practice at, and is something that I don't quite know how to stuff that into my arms with everything else I'm carrying.
Sounds kind of like it's not a high priority. Like, it would be a nice to have.
I mean, yeah. I think it is. Again, for me, it's a question of, like, the scale we're talking. Because in the long term, it feels like a huge priority.
Okay.
Like, it is a thing I want.
Yeah.
It is, I want, you know, I grew up assuming I would get married and have kids, because that's what you assume.
Sure.
Once I came out, the kids thing sort of, once I realized that it would take extra effort, that suddenly, like, cracked a door open, and I was like, oh my god, I don't have to have them at all!
Right, you don't.
But I never had that with the marriage thing. That's something I still think I want. You know, so over the long term, it feels important and like a high priority. In the short term, it comes and goes. I have days where it feels important and days where it doesn't.
Sometimes you just catch a glimpse of alternate timelines. I don't know. Sometimes you just are in a moment and you're like, oh, it could be like this.
Sure. Well, yeah, so what's interesting is I think that, like, the glimpse like that is not actually, like, a glimpse of, like, what if this had worked out? I think it's a glimpse of, like, what if I hadn't seen him that third time? And just sort of carried on sort of wistfully sighing about that moment. And I don't know exactly what that world looks like, but I think I'm smarter in this one. Which is good. Yeah, now I just look at his Instagram pictures and I'm like, good, but
next time on Edges.
So I didn't have a definition for what trans was, right? Like, most people don't. Like, the only exposure you really get to transness is through, like, Maury Povich. And the only exposure you had to trans people were sideshow freaks who people made jokes about.
Yes.
That's just what it was. So I never saw myself as trans.
Okay.
Because I was like, well, if that's what trans is, it's certainly not what I am.
Right.
But I also didn't think of myself as gay. But so I remember telling him, you know, all these things. And his reaction was like, okay, Okay. Well, thank you for telling me.
If you want to support Edge's podcast, the best ways to do that are to leave a rating or review on your podcast app or follow at Edge's Podcast on Twitter. If you tweet at the show, I might read your tweet in the credits. You can also pledge to the show's Patreon by going to patreon.com/edgespodcast. That's patreon.com/edgespodcast. For $2 per month, you'll receive a thank you in the show notes of each episode. For $4, you'll receive episodes 3 days early. For $7, you'll access bonus material that I cut from the episode. And for $10, you'll hear me thank you by name in these closing credits. Please consider supporting the show in whatever way you can, as I literally cannot do it without you. A huge thank you to my very first $10 Patreon supporter, V. I am so appreciative, V. It means the world to have any supporters at all, but the fact that you've come on board so early really touches my heart. In this week's bonus track, Noah talks about his coming out process, which, by the way, was kind of rude, as well as what he calls proto-queer experiences and why he used to wish he was straight. The Edges logo is by Alice Chung, and original music is by Ryan Vibert. Edges Podcast is created and produced by me, Sophie Kaner.